This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. There was a four-year-old, and she was at the pediatrician's office, right, for a checkup. And the doctor looked down her ear with, I think they call it an otoscope or an otoscope, and he was looking in her ear, and he asked her, "Do you think I'll find Big Bird in there?" And the little girl stayed silent. And then, of course, next, the doctor took a tongue depressor, and he pushed down her tongue, and he looked in the back of her throat, and he said, "Do you think I'll find the Cookie Monster in there?" And again, the little girl was silent. Well, of course, she had the tongue depressor in her mouth. But the little girl was silent. And then the doctor took the stethoscope, and he held it onto the little girl's chest to listen to her heartbeat. And while he was doing so, he asked her, "Do you think I'll hear Barney in there?" "Oh, surely not," the little girl said, "because Jesus is in my heart. But Barney is on my underwear." So we have two stories today in this gospel reading today, right? Two different stories, but they are connected. They are connected. The teaching about divorce addresses the treatment of women. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And the teaching about children addresses the issues about the treatment of children. In both cases, the point is very clear. Jesus has great compassion and cares very deeply. At the same time, you see, first century Palestine, there was going on among the Jewish people a hot debate among the Jewish rabbis and Pharisees and teachers. There was a hot debate that was going around, a hotly contested debate about under what circumstances can a divorce be permitted. Now, not unlike today, divorce at the time was complicated. It was complicated for a variety of reasons. It affected a great many people in a diversity of ways. But the law that they were asking about and pointing toward permitted divorce when the man found something objectionable about her. That's it. It's a fairly broad terminology if you think about it. Anything that is objectionable about her, because there is a multitude of interpretations, which is why there was a hotly contested debate going on, and it was indeed interpreted in a multitude of ways. But notice that in that, and if there's something objectionable about her, there is no mention of the woman and how she might feel in the relationship. And notice how the question the Pharisees posed to Jesus on divorce is only about what men are allowed to do to women. And the question, as Jesus points out, reveals a problem that is much bigger than the law itself. It reveals a problem that resides in their very heart. Namely, the problem being the desire to think of and treat women as less than men, or even as objects. You see, women were the property of their fathers until they were married. And then they became the property of their husbands. And outside of a man in her life, she would have had no resources. She would have no securities. She would have no position whatsoever in society. Now, I would argue, thank goodness, we do not live in first century Palestine anymore. But there are traditions around the world that still observe this strict way of being. Now, I don't believe that anyone enters into a marriage thinking one day this will end in divorce. But it turns out that's exactly what was happening at this day and time. Men were getting married to women thinking, "Well, if it doesn't work out, that's okay. I'll just get a permit for divorce." Men were taking wives, let's say, and if she wasn't a very good cook, then he could divorce her. Now, that would leave her destitute. That would leave her unable to marry again in many circumstances. So the Pharisees, they show up and they want to test Jesus. They love to do this. They want to test Jesus. Where is Jesus going to fall in this sort of human-created debate? What side is Jesus going to take? They really wanted Jesus to take a solid stand, knowing that in this situation, no matter what he said, he was going to tick somebody else off. No matter what Jesus said about the matter, someone was likely to disagree with him. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. And he points them back to their real calling. Well, you're worried about the ins and outs and legality of divorce, he says. I'm pointing to something much bigger. Because it's your hardness of heart that this is even a thing. It's because of your hardness of heart that Moses ever even need to give you permission for a divorce. It is because your hardness of heart and how you treat one another that this is even a question. It's because you care about yourself, he replies to the Pharisees, that this is even a debate. And then he reminds them, here's the thing. God made people to have companions. We were not created to be silos in this world. We were created to be in partnership with other human beings. Now, this can mean a lot of different things today in our context and in society. And even still, it certainly does. What does it mean to be partners with other human beings? Regardless of how this debate goes, the point is we must look at our hardness of heart in how we treat one another. I think certainly Jesus is reminding them, reminding us that we are created to take care of one another. That God created human beings as co-equals with one another. And so Jesus points this out again when he picks up a child. Again, in first century Palestine, they didn't hold much status. Again, it's about hardness of heart, you see. Receiving the kingdom as a child means receiving it without the ambition to be a figure of authority. It means receiving the kingdom of God and being content to be the last, being content to be the servant of all. Earlier this week, a clergy colleague said about children, she goes, well, you know, children are messy and sticky and noisy and wildly inconvenient. But my friends, this is what Jesus is saying, how God wants us to approach him with all of our mess and all of our stickiness and all of the noise that we create in our own lives and our incredible inconvenience, in our vulnerability, in our status as the least of these. And in showing up in that way, trusting that God will show up too. And perhaps there's no better story than someone trusting that God is going to show up than the story of Job. Now, I couldn't let us hear the story and not address at least a little bit of it, if anyone was paying attention. If not, you can go back and read it. But the story of Job. Now, the word that comes up several times in here is the word Satan. Now, it actually would be pronounced Satan. And the actual definition of Satan is adversary. Adversary. Not evil demon, but adversary. And so Job, so we have this kind of visual. It reminds me of the beginning of It's a Wonderful Life. Has anybody ever seen that? Where like the stars, the angels are talking to each other in the heavens. So it reminds me of that. And then the Lord looks, and Kim, I love the way you read it. He goes, what are you doing here? Satan shows up, and the Lord is like, well, what are you doing here? And Satan's like, oh, you know, I've just been out on earth creating havoc for everyone, creating problems. And God said, well, let me tell you something. There's this man named Job, and he has such integrity, Satan is almost challenging him. He has such integrity that I guarantee you, no matter what you do, he will still praise God. He will still praise the Lord. And Satan's like, oh, yeah, you think so? And God's like, yes. Now, remember, this is not a real story, friends, right? There is no historical thing of Job. But for the Hebrew people, this was an example of what it means to live a righteous and good life. Because bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. And we hear Job was a good person. And the adversary comes down to wreak havoc on his life. And God says, okay, but I guarantee you he will continue to trust. So the adversary went out from the Lord and he inflicted all kinds of sores on Job. Now, the story goes on and on. There were all sorts of things that happened to Job, but it begins with these boils and sores that cover his whole body. You can imagine how painful they must have been. And Job is just sitting there in the ash, trying to do what he can to keep them from growing more and more and being painful. And then his wife comes along. Now, I like to think, to a degree, this might be the kind of thing that the men of the time were like ready to divorce their wife. Then his wife said to him, do you still persist in your integrity, she says? Curse God and die. Like, she's over it. She's over the whining and the complaining. And he says to her, you speak foolishly, woman. God gives us good. Are we not to receive the bad too? And we learn that Job, amidst all of the adversities that he faced, continued to trust in God. Ultimately, it's about hardness of heart and staying open to the multitude of ways that God is at work in our lives. God is at work in our lives through the goodness and through adversity. It's about not losing trust when we face adversity, even the most horrific of challenges. It's about how we care for one another, regardless of our status. It's how we treat one another, regardless of the faults it might put against us. It's how we respect the dignity of every human being. And Jesus points particularly the least of these. Jesus does this again and again and again. The people want to hear him answer questions about earthly things, about rules, about laws. People want Jesus to take sides. And Jesus again and again and again points them to higher things, to kingdom things. Amen.